This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
To try to draw that connection in the public mind and to say that that's what guides us is that vision that we feel our fates are linked here. And their attempt to pit one group against the other is ultimately in neither of our interests.
That was New York elementary school teacher Brian Jones, who blogs at brianpjones.tumblr.com. And you can find out more about the play Brian mentioned, A Noble Failure, by going to thirdrailrep.org. And that's it for this edition of Labor Radio, radio of working people, by working people, for working people, on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time now is about 6:31. That was Labor Radio. Up next, we have Prison Pipeline. Keep it tuned here to KBOO Portland for your great news and public affairs shows.
KBOO Radio is a proud media sponsor of the 28th annual Martin Luther King Day event. Keep Alive the Dream, an annual tribute to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., produced by the World Arts Foundation. This year's event will take place at the New Beginnings Conference Center, 3300 Northeast 172nd Place in Portland. KBOO will again broadcast the annual celebration in its entirety. More information about this live broadcast can be found at kboo.fm/2013MLK.
And Labor Radio was brought to you in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon Southwest Washington Carpenters Local 156, whose goal is to organize workers, provide a safe work environment, ensure livable wages, and elevate the moral and social conditions of its members. Information at ubc156.org. And keep it tuned here for Prison Pipeline coming up next.
6th Avenue in downtown Portland. This year's keynote speaker will be Dr. Irma McLaren, poet, anthropologist, and author, who will speak about Dr. King's legacy in the digital age. This breakfast also raises scholarship money for local high school students who are seeking higher education. Again, that's Monday, January 21st, 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. at the Hilton Hotel's Grand Ballroom, 921 Southwest 6th Avenue. More information can be found at kboo.fm/scannerbreakfast2013.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
This is Prison Pipeline, and I'm Carlos Chavez, your host for this evening. Prison Pipeline provides another perspective into the incarceration nation that we live in today. As some of you are aware, I volunteer some of my time at McLaren Youth Correctional Facility in Woodburn, Oregon. I host a radio journalism class there, and I feel privileged to work with the staff and young men in my group. For close to 2 years, I've had a chance to watch these young men open up to new ideas, reflect, and to grow. I usually work with about 10 guys at a time. These guys work hard on their units in order to join groups like mine. McLaren has teamed up with the Hope Partnership Organization and the McLaren Youth Leadership Council to invite organizations into McLaren and to coordinate programs like Right Around Portland, Money Masters, Theater, and Songwriting, to name a few. The Office of Minority Services is also key in offering important groups for Latinos, African American, and Asian youth. Many of these groups co-mingle and work together, preparing performances for events and family visits. The young men there are exposed to a number of creative and educational programs that allow them to explore different outlets and build new skills. In my radio journalism group, I show the guys how to use radio recording equipment and how to conduct interviews. I teach them about audio production, and we conduct a number of exercises, one of which is a mock newscast. Here's a sample of one of the newscasts that we recorded just before winter break. The students' last names have been muted for purposes of confidentiality. Okay, let's do it. Ready, set.
Coming up on McLaren Community Voice, Diffusing Violence, Faulty Ventilation, Youth is presented. Good evening, this is McLaren Community Voice, Friday, December 7, 2012. And I'm Chico.
I'm the man.
McLaren Youth Representatives, McLaren making progress. Something that has long been awaited, McLaren staff and McLaren youth are finally working together to bring the campus back to how it used to be, but better. Representatives from different colleges on campus are being asked for their assistance to help mentor and help other youth at McLaren by offering them some of their time to spend with the youth that might need a little push to keep on moving forward and stay focused on becoming better people in society. It will be a struggle that will definitely take some time and true determination to accomplish, said Pancho from the Kincaid College. This is Danny reporting live for the McLaren Community Voice. Peace.
Hi, this is Marcus with the list of McLaren's events that will be taking place here in the near future. First, on December 15th, there will be family visits celebrating Christmas for all units, starting from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. On December 22nd, an event celebrating La Virgen de Guadalupe from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. There will be lots of food, performances, and the history of this special day. And on December 29th, the Aztec ceremony. Families are also invited and provided with food. Don't miss it. These will be great. Again, this is Marcus reporting live with McLaren's Community Voice.
We often talk about the high and low points of what we've just worked on and how we can improve on it. Kathleen Fullerton of Hope Partnership helps with this particular critique.
So let's critique it real quick. Good and bad. What do you guys think?
I could have done better.
I couldn't get the words out. Like, I've seen the words.
I ended up adding to it because I didn't know it was going to be. It looked like it was a lot better than it. But I could have done better.
But let's talk about good and bad. So you said that you had some struggles getting the words out, but I thought yours was really well written.
Yeah.
Maybe you used to get a little wordy on some parts, and you. When you write stories, like for news or for any kind of a broadcast, you want to be careful not to use too many big words, because those are usually I can't remember what they call that, but
almost like he was writing, and you were writing it almost as like running around Portland, where you were trying to make plays on words
and poetry style,
and so it's just it. Yeah, you can't. I don't think you can do that.
You can do it a little bit, but it has to be so subtle that you can ease it from you're just kind of touching on it and then back into what you're doing. But I actually think that's part of why it kind of sounded it was a good presentation of a story, because it kind of had a little bit of that. But but you ought to be careful not to go too far with it.
Yeah.
So but really good writing. And then, so what you were saying was that you had to add some stuff kind of at last minute.
Yeah.
So you have to be ready to kind of jump on your toes. That's why it's really, really important. I always stress this every time: is read.
Yeah,
make sure you read it.
How much did you read that over after you wrote it?
I did it. I mean, I kind of read it through as I write it because I don't want to leave stuff out. But if it doesn't sound right, I can't add it to it.
Like but that's also why you want to read it afterwards.
That's why you got to read it again after you.
Because you'll read it out loud and you'll go, okay, I need to add this here, or I should take that out.
But it will seem shorter, like either shorter or longer. I mean, it seems different on the paper when you're writing it, and then when you go to do it, it's like, that wasn't nearly as much as I thought.
And if you have read it, you'll go through it a lot quicker too. Like it'll be much easier. Yeah. And it'll just boom, boom, boom. It'll just roll off your tongue because I can't stress how important it is to read your stuff ahead of time. When you do a real newscast, and you're, boom, the microphone is on and you're live. It's really, really easy to stumble. It's easy to just completely forget stuff that's really basic and simple that should be, that you normally wouldn't, you know, would be second nature. So it takes time and practice. And
you
but
get the ums.
That too, though. That's another reason why you want to read.
And it's like, and it's bad to get the ums sometimes because, for example, what you were saying, like on a radio where like a lot of people are listening to you, you don't want to stumble, like, and then because it looks like interesting in the story.
You're thinking that reading it, you shouldn't have any ums.
Yeah.
Because
but you still have to somehow get it, though.
But if you're stumbling, then you will have because you didn't read it enough, then you will throw in some ums.
But on a good note, you guys anchored and had news articles.
Yeah.
So you had more to write and you had more to read. So there was a lot more that was involved there. So it is a little tougher to do that.
Well,
so,
for me, it's kind of tougher when I read somebody else writing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, and that's another part of reading it.
Yeah.
Is you go through and you scratch out words that you don't normally use and you fill it in with a word that feels more comfortable
mm-hmm.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you... So any news anchor, when they get their copy, first thing they do is they go through and they scratch out stuff and they rewrite stuff. Boom. Mm-hmm. They're doing that. And they're reading through it. They're making sure that it sounds natural to them. And they'll say it the way that feels comfortable for them. That's why
that's
I wanted you guys... Well, that's why I wanted you guys to see when I used to just bring articles and you guys were kind of rewriting those. I wanted you guys to see the difference in how it's written by other people versus how it would be written by you guys or edited by you guys. That way you guys, you know, it's uncomfortable. You're getting really good at writing your stories and reading it. I think your articles come across really good.
Mm-hmm.
You have a good presence and very confident, and you flow really good all the way through. I think you're doing really good. There was like minimal stumbling through that. I mean, not hardly any at all, really. I mean, you did that too. You did really good on yours too. There was a couple parts where you kind of got caught up.
Yeah.
But you got through them quick and moved on. And that's another thing, is when you do stumble, be careful because that can snowball.
Yeah.
And you could just start stumbling your way. Trust me, man. I've gone through all that and live on the air. You know, like, now what? You know, like kind of stuff. You don't ever want to do that. You know, but that's just part of the process. That's how you learn.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the easier that you're able to read. I mean, when I used to do the news, I used to oftentimes. Our news stories would get there right as the news is about to air. And so you don't really have a whole lot of time to read. But we were comfortable with the headlines and all that kind of stuff so that we could usually jump into that pretty quick. And then so whoever was reading the headlines, the other person's reading through their next article. And then when it's my turn to read my article, the other anchor's reading their stuff real quick. So it's like kind of crazy the whole time back and forth. And then we'll go to a news segment that's pre-recorded. It's like 3 or 4 minutes. We're like, all right, great. Now we can, you know, we're just like, whoa, you know, the whole time. But that's just kind of part of it.
I hate when something sounds different in your head, and then as you're reading it, it's like that moment of realization, like, oh my God!
It's so dumb.
I can't say it. It's like, that sounds right at all.
Well, and sometimes the way that things are written can kind of twist your tongue a little.
Right.
And you know, if you can rewrite some of that stuff so that it doesn't do that, it'll just make your reader so much better. So you want to avoid anything like that at any cost. So.
Oh, yeah.
So that was good. Another side of this class is that the guys get to learn about history and culture that they might not have known about before. This gives them material to draw from and gives them ideas for stories to work on for radio and for background insight into new stories to research and produce. I usually put together historical and cultural presentations, incorporating different kinds of media, or sometimes I'll invite different guests to share their stories and information. Maria Elisa Velasquez is a professor out of Mexico City who spent an evening with us at McLaren to talk about Mexico's African history. She was accompanied by my good friend, Wiley G. Barnett.
You want me to begin to talk about how I get involved in this subject?
Yeah, how did you even think about, how did you even
because
learn?
Where you came from, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was studying, and so I get involved in a project about sugar. Mm-hmm. So when I arrived to the archives and I began to see mulattoes and black people and mulattoes and black people, I said, well, so I began to be interested about what happened with the black people. They were a lot in the archives. And then I began to do my master in Mexico City, in the university. And I began also to be interested in history about women. So I find out, I begin to learn about the pioneer of these studies, that it's Aguirre Beltrán, that he was the first one that studied the black population in Mexico in the 1950s. So I say, well, we know a lot of men, Africans, well, not a lot, but we know more, but we don't know anything about the women that also came from Africa. What did they do? What did they serve for? So I begin to be interested about it. But I have to say that when I was asking my teachers in those days, I want to do my thesis, my PhD, about women's slavery of African descendants. They say, you're crazy. You will not find anything about that subject. Black woman in Mexico, that's stupid. And if you see the book, all the it's not a small book, you see. It's the book that I wrote, because I was like obsessive to find sources, because the teachers told me, you will not find documents that talk about that. Of course I find.
And that's what this book is about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the about the women. And so I found a lot of sources. And I found out that they were very important for several things. They work in the cities. They work also in the plantations. They have an important role in many societies. And one important thing is that the indigenous people cannot be judged by the Inquisition. So the ones that only can be
the Inquisition judged is the court of the Catholic Church, and they're the ones that decide, is this something that's okay or not?
It doesn't take long for a discussion to spark as the students jump into the conversation.
For the Spanish people, the indigenous were like any member of the society, vasallos de la corona, of the crown. They were the same. But in the real life, in the economic life, they have the low access. Well, of course, the Africans, the slaves were more. But they can. One thing that is important is that in 1542, they decided not to, they forbid it to make the indigenous people slaves. That's why they also brought the Africans. But if they were not accepting the religion, the Catholic religion, they can be slaves. So many of them of the north get into slave, and also in Yucatan, in some places that were treating them bad, they can get them like slaves. So we have indigenous people, native people, slaves until the 19th century.
And this slavery started way before the United States had slaves.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Of course. In fact, when it first started, there was no United States.
Yeah, there was even a United States. Of course. And even in... That's why also it's important, this program of UNESCO about the root of the slave, because slavery, it's a big, a great problem. It's not about only about slavery on Africans or Afro-descendants. It's a huge problem. Mm-hmm. And in the history, it was a huge problem. The point is that it affected more the Africans, of course, because it was the big business. But in a lot of places in Arab countries here, for example, all the slaves that came from Africa and to Arabic world, they were huge. They were a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when she's
in
saying
fact,
Arab world, she's
Arabs,
talking about...
The Arabs what? Were the first ones that make slaves the Africans.
She's talking about Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Iraq, Iran,
Middle East,
Pakistan.
The Muslim world wasn't...
yeah.
That's where the slave trade began. So there was that. That was that on that part of the map that I was telling you about, the Arab slave trade going up from Africa into, like, you know, the north of Africa and into the Middle East. That was the what you were saying is the original.
And also the indigenous, the pre-Hispanic in America, they have slaves also. And you can choose to be a slave. That was interesting. I choose to be a slave to pay, for example,
so indentured servitude.
And many of them, they were in the war, they got slaves in the pre-Hispanic times to kill them for the gods.
The Aztecs.
A lot.
The Mayans too.
Yes, I'm sorry.
You know. Sacrifice them?
Yes.
I just remember, like, when I was in this anthropology class, they're saying that people volunteer to go in slavery so that their families would get something out of it. Mm-hmm. So that way their families would be paid, like, have stuff after they go away.
Exactly.
They still do that today. People will sell their children into slavery for...
And there is...
Money, or vice versa, they'll go into slavery so their children can have a better life.
Well, I mean, think about what is one of the more modern versions of slavery? There's a couple things, which I can think of, like, three off the top of my head, versions of slavery that we have today. One of them is sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. You know, people being taken from Eastern Europe or wherever, Asia, wherever, everywhere, really.
Yeah.
Just being taken away from their families and sold to, you know, and held in mm-hmm. homes, in places locked away so they could sell them for the sex trade. Another one are the migrants from Mexico.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of indentured servitude that happens there. They're having to pay off the coyotes, or they're paying off the farmers that they're, you know, and a lot of times the farmers just continue to get work out of them, and they never really
get
paid
about
off.
That. Or they don't get really paid at all.
But kind of in the lines of what you were talking about, they're coming here to work so that their families there can get something. So it's a different kind of indentured servitude from what you were talking about.
Yeah, which I think is messed up. Like, they come over here, they work for, like, less money, but then mm-hmm. it's like slavery in its own way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then there's the prison industry.
Mm-hmm.
Getting
mm-hmm.
a workforce out of folks that are in prison. You know? There's an article that I just saw today where they were showing, it was a picture, which, and this is kind of rare, of this call center. It looked like any other office in the United States, a call center with people with headsets on. And they all had orange jumpsuits on. And they were working for Visa, for travel agencies, for booking hotels and flights it was a couple of the technology companies.
I have a friend that does something.
And that's in the United States.
Yeah, and those are that's
so
mainly the private
out how
business.
That they don't
they
have
were
the
paid a lot
anymore.
Less.
They do that in OSCI, sort of. They're like, I have a friend that works for Preflight, and then, like, he does work on computers and stuff for people in the house. Also, so it's crazy.
Well, then you have outsourcing. So then you have companies that go to other countries, and they have these big maquiladoras, is what they call them in Mexico, these facilities where people come in and they actually lock them in there.
Well, that's what they do, and then mm-hmm. in China, and then they put the big mm-hmm. the nets around the top of their building, so then they try and jump off to kill themselves because it's so horrible, the net catches them so they don't die. And that's mm-hmm. yeah. So you really need to examine where your products come from and why mm-hmm. they're so cheap. Well,
do they still Shanghai people?
Huh? Yeah, they still do that. They will put in advertisements in papers for somebody to come and work as a domestic or something. So somebody thinks, yeah, I'll go there, get a better life, but they're enslaved. It's not.
You can't get out.
You can't get out.
You're forced to work.
Yeah.
Well, they do that with marriage too.
Or
you know, for people who want to get
forced into prostitution or something.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
Right. And there are some more light kind of slavery,
yeah.
like, for example, the servants, the domestic mm-hmm. Servants that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
In Mexico, there are a lot that work in the homes, but they are treated really like special slaveries, but like slaves, you know, that you cannot only go...
Like the house Negroes.
Like
the house Negroes, the they used to call them. In America, anyways. But still, that's a little different still. Because they actually were slaves, but they had more access. They were treated a little bit better than the guys that were out in the fields.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was more like an indentured servitude, but it was actually slavery. Whereas in the case that she's talking about, it's more It's similar, but it's a little different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So still, it's a huge problem in mm-hmm. slavery. So that's why it's so important to know about the history, not only to talk about the past, but because the past is part of our present. Yeah. You know, we cannot understand who are we if we don't know how we become and came from. So.
This kind of history is an important part for most of these guys because it helps them to realize a larger sense of identity. Many of these students, as well as many who aren't incarcerated, don't learn about this kind of history until they're in college. Even then, they might not get this information. My group is made up of very talented individuals, so sometimes we take time out for the guys to share and record their creative talents. Here's a poem by one of my newer students, Robert.
All right, Carlos, man, I didn't know what you was really looking for with it. I gave you a little flow last time of some of the things that I've been working on and where my mindset is now. But this is one of the things I wrote while I was in solitary by making a couple bad choices. It gives you a lot of time to think and get your mind straight. And, well, this is it. It's just good song worth, a good 32 at least bars of just from a point of view of being in this whole ordeal of getting locked up to different struggles that you go through emotionally, mentally, physically, you know what I mean, spiritually, everything. So no further ado, it goes like this. Damn, the thing just keeps reoccurring. Like I didn't mean to say that, let me reword it. And it's getting out of order, let me see what first is. I know it's like torture, so you feel the hurting. And try so many times, it must not be working. And it's the same that you expect a different outcome. Like we all know what it is before they reach a verdict. It's a monkey on your back that you can't outrun. And there's a chip on the shoulder that make them all stuck up. The skeletons in the garden are constantly getting dug up. Problems flow away, more cups getting drunk up. And stay tight to the rolling wheel like lug nuts is dumbstruck. Sitting in a stoop in a slump. They say they feel higher, more stupid than a blunt. See, I'm feeling like a fighter. See, my dukes are still up, but it's feeling like a riot. Guess my soul has had enough, and it's too much for one to bear. So one has to lose, put off as long as possible. Now one has to choose. Been avoiding these ditches. Now watch me sit back and crew. The ride's been long, but it hasn't been smooth. This exclusive pair, you ain't walked in my shoes. Never the same path. Watch me make new moves. Drumming with the same beat, but it's to a new tune. Like same old dream, but it's under a new moon. And it's cool how they all eventually pass away with time. Fair weather friends, fair wear when I'm due. My funny how they there when they think I'm about to get some shine, but I don't see them anywhere like I'm Ray Charles blind. And chicks stick to my windshield like I'm ticket fine, but they don't notice I'm watching my steps because I walk a rigid line, grinding in every way. But now I'm about to board slide, swimming against the wave, but won't be swept away like the undertide. I'm just speaking with affection, knowing it's all the truth, cause I could tell by their expression like the young dude dope, something like injection. So it won't be long before I'm placed in the great selection. So I send my thanks and their condolence, cause I don't wanna be part of the game, I wanna own it. It takes too long, they keep postponing what not even suggesting what I'm projecting or proposing. This got me open like a book. Flip the page, take a look, cause you can't gather from my cup. Hold your breath on this one, and boy, you might smother. Expect one thing, but yet you get a whole nother.
Here's a spoken word piece from one of the students that's been in my class from the get-go, Pavel.
My mama wrote me a letter. Hello, dear son. I hug and kiss you. I really miss you. I wish to see you. Really waiting for you to come home. I didn't feel like doing something since you walk away with last look on your face and metal braces on your hand. 5 years later, I don't think I feel better. I pray every day, thanking God from day to day, looking for a new home. Oh, I don't know. I hope to see you soon. I hug and kiss you. Love. I miss you, Mom. See those scribbles? My eyes well up. I won't let tear to drop. I'm so bottled up, I feel like blowing up.
We mix things up pretty good in this class, and I've got a core group of students that have stuck with the class for some time. I enjoy and appreciate this opportunity as a facilitator, and I often think that I'm learning just as much, if not more, than these guys each time I come out. I'll air another portion of this program at a later date that highlights more of the poetry, radio, and culture that we had fun with in 2011. Until then, this has been Prison Pipeline, and I've been your host, Carlos Chavez. For more information on this program or on past shows, or to listen to and download the audio, log on to kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Good night.
KBOO is proud to be a media sponsor of An Evening with Dr. Michelle Alexander, Wednesday, January 16th, 2013, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Emmanuel Temple, located at 1033 North Sumner Street. Dr. Alexander is the author of The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. There will be a community fair, community panel, and Michelle will read from her book. For more info, go to kboo.fm. Into a world I plunge, through my headphones, escaping to the streetlight. I begin to believe in destiny when my...
I'm Shahid Hamid, host of Blues and More and It Takes a Village. On Saturday, January the 19th, from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m., you're invited to tune in for our annual tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a drum major for justice. J.J. Johnson of Sunday Morning's Gospel and More will co-host with me as we feature some smooth jazz, gospel music, as well as speeches from the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We will also feature ministers from the African American Ministerial Alliance with their comments and tribute of the drum major for justice. So remember, Saturday, January the 19th, from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m., a drum major for justice right here on KBOO.
And you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge, 100.7 FM Corvallis in Albany. The time is 2 minutes after 7. Stay tuned for Hard.